There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Good to have you back. Third and final hour of the show, as always, encouraging you to have your say at Dubai Eye Sport. This is The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasti. It is 3 minutes into Northern Ireland against Bosnia-Herzegovina, and no goals in this one. Early penalty shout for the home team, Northern Ireland, that is, in the first minute of the game, but nothing doing with the referee. Let's get the latest from the Oval. Mark Archer's keeping tabs on this one for us.
I am indeed. It's England resuming their first innings of this match, and they've done incredibly well this morning. A big partnership between Joss Butler and Stuart Broad. It means that England are now, they have lost a wicket, but they're 323 for nine. The man dismissed recently is Stuart Broad, caught Rahul Boljadeja for 38, but they put together a great partnership between himself, Stuart Broad, and Joss Butler. Joss Butler's moved on to 80 not out, so he's now top scoring in this innings. 6 fours and 1 6, a very mature knock by Joss Butler coming in down the order. He's really steered the bottom order into a really competitive score now. So Jimmy Anderson, the Burnley Lara, is in batting with him at number 11. And he's yet to add to his tally. He's on naught not out. But, of course, England have recovered into a decent position in this match, 329 for 9. India will be hoping to wrap up the final wicket and get at the crease sooner rather than later.
I expect Joss will be giving it a bit of tap now, will he?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to stick around and rely on that forward defence of the left-handed Anderson for too long. I think he'll try and monopolise the strike. And if he gets the chance to open those broad shoulders and show some of that invention that Joss Butler has, he'll be doing so very shortly. So I'll keep you bang up to date with either Butler as he progresses, trying to maybe get to 100. He's at 86 not out. Can he just hit another six? So can he get to 100? He's probably saying, geez, I've got a chance here of a test century. And hopefully Jimmy Anderson can get some of that forward defensive just for long enough to maybe give Joss Butler a chance. So I'll keep you bang up to date. 329 for nine. India almost batting.
We will keep an eye on that one for you. We'll keep an eye on the rugby as well. We've got some early kickoffs in Currie Cup action, also over in the Gallagher Prem, the Guinness Pro 14 as well. Let's get the latest, CBR.
Yeah, Tom, starting with the Premiership, as you said, the Gallagher Premiership. Wasps taking on Exeter Chiefs. That game has just kicked off in Coventry and it's still 0-0. The Newport Dragons take on the Southern Kings. That game kicks off at 6 o'clock this evening. In France, Bordeaux taking on Montpellier. Bordeaux lead that one 3-0, 20 minutes played. And then in South Africa, we've got one Currie Cup game. The Bulls are taking on Griekwas. Halftime score there, Bulls 28, Griekwas 21.
Thanks very much indeed for that one. We were talking golf just as we went to the top of the hour. I just want to continue that conversation. Justin Rose is going along nicely. Obviously, he'll be part of the European team's plans over at Le Golf at the end of the month. Ryder Cup action starting on the 28th of September. He's in contention, I should say, over the BMW Championship in Philadelphia. Happy with his game?
Obviously delighted with that, you know, no mistakes out there. Well, actually, no mistakes on the scorecard. Still some mistakes out there, but, you know, saved myself. You know, obviously 15th hole comes to mind, left in that front right bunker, really tough bunker shot, left at 15 foot, but made that momentum keeping part, and then obviously birdied the par 5 and just kept everything going. But, yeah, really smooth front nine, got it out in 4 under, and every hole on the front nine I had a birdie look. So I felt like, you know, really turning in 4 was about as many as I could have turned in. So, good day's work, drove it well, just did all the right things today. Just put it in the fairway off the tee and had a lot of good numbers in.
I've got to ask you this. You win your US Open just down the street, basically at Merrie, and you've won here before. What's the secret sauce in this Philly area, man?
Cheesesteaks, I guess. I mean, no, it must be something in the water around here for sure. I've played well, and you know, the crowd have latched onto it for sure. I mean, I get good support around here, and it's nice when they're reminding you all the time that it's your town as well. I mean, obviously, I kind of come here and I play well, but it's nice to have that added extra bit of enthusiasm from the crowd too.
So I'm guessing you were pulling for Philadelphia in the last night's game, right?
I got to do it. Every year I say, right, I've got to pick a team, and I think this year I might have to go with the Eagles. I know you were wearing the Falcons hat yesterday, buddy, but I'm jumping on the bandwagon while I'm in Philly for sure.
Jumping on the bandwagon. Let's talk Ryder Cup if we can, because earlier on this week, Thomas Bjorn revealed the four names that he's entrusted with the wild cards. Ian Poulter, Sergio Garcia, Paul Casey, and Henrik Stenson. Is that the epitome of playing it safe, Mark Archer?
Well, it is to a degree. I don't think Thomas Bjorn had too many choices. He had lots of choices, but because of the makeup of the automatic qualifiers where he had five rookies in the team, he had to find experience. We know the Ryder Cup is a highly pressurized situation, and the players that didn't qualify, his veterans, he had to give his wild card picks to. I'm sure he would have rathered a few of those players of his wild cards to get the automatic selection there, so it would have made his job a bit easier. But he had to make some pretty tough choices. So in the end, he opted for his four wildcard picks: Paul Casey, Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter, and Henrik Stenson. For me, three of those players kind of picked themselves. I was surprised when Paul Casey was given the nod, but as the European Tour had asked him to come back at the start of the season to play on the European Tour to be qualified for selection, then I guess looking back, it makes some sense there. Players who miss out will be disappointed. I know Rafa Cabrera-Bello, a man that lives in Dubai a lot of the time, he is apparently devastated that he wasn't selected because he was advised not to play one event last week in Europe, to play in the US, on the thought process that he might be selected in the team. So he's given a bit of a bum stare there by Thomas Bjorn. But it's a strong, competitive European team. But when you line up against the American team on paper, the American teams looks unbelievable. They're saying this is arguably the strongest American team ever. But home course advantage playing in Europe has been massive for the European Ryder Cup team in recent years. The US haven't won in Europe since 1993. That's a factor. But you look at this man for man, I just can't see how that American team can possibly fail. But it's a team event. It's not individuals. Ryder Cups do funny things at funny times. Let's wait and see.
Wild cards, I mean, does it matter given the strength of the American team?
It doesn't matter at all, Tom. I think I said it from the start. I don't think Europe's got a chance in this one. But as I say, funnier things have happened. And I think what Thomas Bjorn had to do is, I was not surprised with his choices because he had to go with experience. As you say, he's got five rookies in there. To me, the players that automatically qualified for Europe, I honestly don't see them as really giving the Americans any up here. I mean, even Thorbjørn Olesen, that made the last spot. He's only recently been playing well. I think the problem with his captain's picks at the moment, Sergio Garcia, is not playing well at all. So there will be a couple of question marks around Sergio. But then again, he brings in that experience that's needed. Paul Casey, to me, has never been a strong finisher. He strikes the ball well. So I kind of think he's a little bit lucky to get in. But then again, looking at that American team, I mean, looking at the captain's picks that Jim Furyk's gone with, they're going to be very, very tough to beat. And I honestly don't see Europe giving them any uphill.
Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, the three wildcard picks for Jim Furyk so far. One more remains, is that right?
Yeah. One more pick for Jim Furyk. He's going to wait and see what happens in this weekend's BMW Championship. He'll announce his fourth and final pick on Monday, I believe. He's just giving, a few players an extra chance to maybe go out and make a statement. The consensus is there's two players who are dominating his thoughts. One's Tony Finau, who's had a pretty consistent year, and the other one is Kevin Kisner, who's also been incredibly consistent. None of those players have won big events, but they've been there or thereabouts throughout the season, and they look to be the 12th and final pick for the Americans. But let's wait and see. But it's a stacked American team. You go through it man by man, and they've won majors, they've won PGA Tour events, they've won European Tour events. And then he's got the luxury of picking Tiger Woods bang into form, which is an amazing story, because 6 months ago we'd pretty much written off Tiger Woods' golf career. To come back to where he is has been phenomenal. He's been incredibly consistent since having a chance. He led with, seven holes to play of the Open Championship. He had a good PGA Championship, and he seems to be thereabouts now on the leaderboards. Phil Mickelson, a man that's been there, done it all, brings that veteran experience. And Bryson DeChambeau, the scientist who's won the last two FedEx Cup events, he's the third pick. So Jim Furyk, spoiled for riches, and it's a very, very strong team on paper, the Americans.
To be honest, I was quite surprised to see Phil Mickelson get selected as a captain's pick. The reason, obviously, he brings a lot of experience. He's played many, many Ryder Cups before. But Arch, at the moment, he's not playing good golf. I mean, if you look at the captain's or the players that he's got available, we mentioned Finau, we mentioned Kevin Kisner, even this Xander Schauffele is a very, very talented player. So I kind of think, yeah, I can understand going with the experience with Phil, but I think Phil a little bit lucky to make that team.
It's an interesting one as well. I mean, Tiger Woods. I mean, who wouldn't want Tiger Woods in your team? But that said, and is this fair comment or not? He's not got the greatest Ryder Cup record. He's not got the greatest team play record.
No, this is the thing about Tiger Woods. For many years, he was so single-mindedly focused on winning majors and he got to that number of 14 a decade ago. And we all thought he was going to go on and maybe break. And he still might do this, but get to Jack Nicklaus' record of 18. He never used to like team events. He was never a team player. It was all about Tiger Woods. Me, my goals, what I want to do. It's about me, Tiger Woods. I think he's a bit of a reformed character. The second chapter of Tiger Woods 2.0 has come back, and he's a bit more forward-facing. He's obviously admitted he's had some demons he's had to deal with off the course. He's had the injuries, the debilitating back injuries and knee injuries, reconstructed surgeries. And I think it almost finished his career. He was done. And I think he's now grasped that for his legacy to continue in the game, he has to become a bit more likable, a bit more of a person. And I think this is part of the new Tiger Woods 2.0. Yeah. So for many years, the American team just didn't like playing team golf. They didn't like each other for a start. And that was Team Europe's big success. They played on a lesser tour, but they traveled together. They're almost like a team week in, week out. And they could that team element was always worth quite a few points to Team Europe. Now I'm seeing this younger, new-look American team, and they're all mates.
Yeah.
Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. They're all friends. They all go away and play events and stay in the same house. And that's almost switched. So now we've got this team camaraderie sort of situation with the USA team. And I think we're just seeing a sort of an end of an era a bit with the Europeans, the likes of Poulter and Garcia and Stenson, who've been around a long time. The new guys are coming through, the Tommy Fleetwoods, the Alex Norins, the Rory McIlroys to a degree. But that's the big advantage for the Americans now. They seem to be gelling as a team. And if Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson want to be part of that team, they used to like each other. Tiger Woods used to struggle to find anyone to play with him in a Ryder Cup, because they were like, A, it's daunting for a start to play with the greatest player of all time in Tiger, and B, he just didn't like playing team golf. He wasn't a team player. That's not in his makeup. But I think he's a reformed character, and I think he's got a bit to prove.
But that said, I mean, he's not winning tournaments at the moment. I mean, he's putting together a couple of good rounds, but as we've seen in this BMW over in Philly at the moment, a couple of good rounds early doors, then falls off the pace halfway through. I mean,
Tom, I don't quite agree with that. I mean, he ended second in the PGA Championship. He was chasing hard. He shot a 64. I think it is his lowest run in a final. He was leading the British Open, and once again he shot an opening 62. So I think he's showing some very, very good form. And I also think that selecting Tiger for that team brings the whole kind of intimidation factor. The crowds will be bigger. We know more people will be watching. So it really, really adds to the event. But I think Tiger Woods is once again, well, he is contending, and I think it's just a matter of time before he starts winning tournaments. Well, I do agree with you. Yes, he has won nothing, but he's knocking on the door, and I believe he will get a tournament victory. It's only a matter of time.
The other point is, he was there as part of the team, Tom. He was there as the vice captain.
Yeah.
So he was there as part of the team. He was going to be part of Jim Furyk's lieutenants around the course, motivating players, giving them some inspiration. And what he's done in 6 months to go from being a vice captain, where no one thought he was going to play in the Ryder Cup, to now being a selection, shows that how far he's reformed. I know we haven't quite talked US Open tennis yet, but the big debate at the moment is who's had the bigger comeback, Tiger Woods or Serena Williams, because she's done amazingly well in the last 12 months as well. So that's one of those debate lines rocking the US and the global sports scene at the moment, who's had the bigger comeback. But I think until Tiger wins, then he's probably got a bit of point to prove yet.
But why Serena had a comeback? All she did was have a baby. I wouldn't. I mean, it's not like she was out injured or anything. Like Tiger Woods is.
No, the full story was she almost lost her life giving birth.
Yeah. I mean, if you do watch the documentary, that is true. But I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't like she had a major injury like Tiger did. And also,
apart from almost losing her life,
and he sort of brought it upon himself as well a little.
Exactly. I don't think she had as many off court incidents as what Tiger did.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the next documentary. Who knows? 4001. If you want to share your thoughts with us, Tiger Woods is enjoying his golf. That's good to see. It's good for golf as well. In fact, you can hardly believe his year.
I didn't know how many tournaments I'd play this year, or if I'd even play. And so each tournament brought about its own challenges. And I didn't know what the number was going to be this year. I didn't know how I was going to play. And so at the beginning of the year, if you said, I would have a chance, legit chance to win the last two major championships, with what swing? I didn't have a swing at the time. I had no speed. I didn't have a golf swing. I didn't have, my short game wasn't quite there yet. My putting was okay, but, I hadn't played in 2 years. And so it's been a hell of a process this year. Yeah, but I'm in uncharted territory, because there's no one's ever had a fused spine hitting it like I'm hitting it. So I've had to kind of figure this out on my own. And it's been really, really hard. It's a lot harder than people think. And I'm just very pleased at what I've done so far. And now, I mean, to be part of the Ryder Cup conversation, going from where I've come from to now in the last year, has been pretty cool.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
I think it's game on feast, judging by the responses from the majority of some of the big guns out there on tour as well. Might be on the fastest on tour, but it hasn't served him well at the US Open. He hasn't made it through to the men's final, but Carlos, we know who has.
Yeah, what I can tell you is, of course, Novak Djokovic will take on Jean Del Potro, and that will be happening in tomorrow evening's US Open final. And Tom, you know, no big surprise. Everybody was talking about Novak before the tournament started, and once again, he seems like he's back to his old self again in fantastic form. And as you say, winning tennis tournaments. So he saw Kai Nishikori quite easily. He won that in three straight sets, and then of course Rafael Nadal was in the other semi-final against Jean-Martin Del Potro, and he unfortunately had to retire. So it's going to be a fantastic final, but like as from the start of the tournament, I said I don't see anybody beating Novak Djokovic, and honestly I think this is Novak Djokovic's to lose.
Rafael Nadal having to retire from their semi-final with Juan Martin Del Potro, do we know what the injury is?
Oh, I'm not sure actually. No. Is it a knee injury?
Knee? Benji's our resident tennis
pointing
expert.
To the knee, so tendonitis in the knee, which basically means that you've been very taxing on your body, as we know Rafa Nadal has over the course of his career. And that's the problem, I guess, as you get to the ripe age of 32, like Rafa Nadal, the body has been a battle at times. And he's played a lot of tennis from a young age, and it's a shame because he had shown some great form, and he had to fight his way through some pretty tough five setters in this match. I remember it was at the quarterfinal against Dominic Thiem where it went for almost 5 hours after, and he was bageled in the first set, and then he won back one in the fifth set there in almost 5 hours. So wonderful effort by Rafa Nadal, but alas, it won't be him in the final. Novak Djokovic trying to win a 14th Grand Slam, which I think takes him equal to Pete Sampras.
Yes, I think that is correct.
And then, of course, you never count out Juan Martin Del Potro. He's just the hardcourt player that, yeah, if he's on his game, he's got a massive serve, big, big forehand. He's just got that clay court game, the hard court game, that if he's on, I think he can be tough to beat. But Novak seems to have found his mental fortitude again.
He's won there before, hasn't he, Del Potro?
Yeah, yes. He won 2008. He's won his only US Open there. So he's got he'll have some good memories. It's just whether Djokovic, who seems to have been revitalised in the last couple of months on and off the court, and he seems to have his confidence back, his mojo back. He's such a good counterpuncher, you know, returning of serve, and he's such a good all-court game. It's tough to probably count out, probably not Djokovic winning this one, I think.
Tom, I know you're a man that likes a bit of stats, and we're talking about the players retiring. Roger Federer has played 1,424 matches and has never retired.
Really?
Never, ever.
Never retired from a game?
I guess that's why. I guess that's why he's the GOAT.
That's why he's the GOAT too.
Interesting debate we had during the week. Obviously disappointing that Federer went out to the John Millman, the pretty much unheralded Aussie. And we had a debate on Sports Tonight about, is Federer done? I mean, and we've been reluctant to... We've almost written him off a few years ago. Then he's come back and astounded everyone. And then it's now... He's 37 years old. Does he have another slam in him? And it's such a tough debate to have because he's got close. He's had a couple of wee glimpses in this year at Wimbledon. This year at the US Open, it seemed as though the stars were aligning. It looked like Federer could go all the way again. But it just, when you get into the back end of these long tournaments, it just seems to be tough for him. But, I mean, Carlos, is Federer done? Is he done and dusted? Is he going to win another one?
He's never done. I think the thing with Federer is, I honestly believe next year will be swan song. I think you must really announce it that, I think you're playing all four grands. Or he must really won't play in the French, but you'll play. I actually think you must really call it a day at Wimbledon next year. I think it will be his last one. The problem with Federer at the moment is, because he's not ranked at one, he really needs the draw to work in his favour. And also, he cannot have any tough games. If he kind of gets pushed because his body's taking so much longer to recover, it is very, very tough for him. Does he have another slam in him? I still believe he can win another slam, but it's getting tougher and tougher for him.
Here's the second question then. Okay, Rafa Nadal, 17 slams. Novak, 13. Can either of them catch, both 32 years old, can either of them catch Federer?
I believe Novak can. I don't believe Rafael can. Because at the moment, the form that Novak Djokovic is in, if he stays in this form, nobody can touch him.
It's interesting, isn't it? We're having this debate about are they done? I mean, we only have to wait a couple of hours where there's another game of where that question mark's been hanging over one of those finalists, Serena Williams. I mean, try and put into context this one. She's aiming to win a record-equaling 24th Grand Slam singles title. This time last year, or just a little later on, I mean, under a year ago, she had major complications before giving birth. She had major complications during birth as well. We understand that she came close to death. She had a very difficult time straight after that as well, as admitted that she got postnatal depression, amongst other things. And here she is, having glided through the draw in this US Open. The cricket, let's get an update from that, because since we last checked in, the game has moved on.
It has indeed. England have finally been dismissed in their first innings for 322. The last man to fall was Jos Buttler for a hard hit 89. But I can tell you, Tom, the last two wickets for England added 108. So India will be in despair that they couldn't wrap it up this morning quickly. The last two wickets for England, 108 runs they added, which really gave them a good decent first inning score. 322 not out. India have gone into bat and they have lost their first wicket. They are 6-4-1. I can tell you that the man dismissed was Shikhar Dhawan, LBW to Stuart Broad for 3. So KL Rahul, 3 not out. He's just been joined at the crease by Pujara, who's yet to score. India 6-4-1 have lost their first wicket in the early stages of their innings. That's in reply to England's score of 332.
That won't please a certain Virat Kohli, a man who lives and breathes Indian cricket. He's been one of the standout players, if not the standout player of this entire series. He's anything but giving up on this final test match. The series might have gone, but they've still got points to prove.
I think it was a competitive series to begin with. We've already understood and admitted the things that we haven't done well, and that's something we're very keen to improve on, because to get into competitive positions, you understand that you have the ability, but ability gets you till a certain extent, and then your mental toughness comes into play when you want to win test series in difficult conditions, in difficult countries, and that's something that we aspire to do. And when you don't do that, being in winning positions is obviously hurts a lot more than any other thing. And for us as a team, that's probably been the most frustrating part, that we have, you know, shown our skill sets to get into positions and we haven't capitalized on them. I mean, all we can do is gain experience from that and try and get better as a team, because I certainly believe that we can do the job, provided we are mentally tougher in difficult situations compared to the oppositions.
You say difficult conditions, difficult countries. Do you think then the lead up to test series like this, and similar situation in South Africa, I was down there with you, the lead up to those test series, do you think they could be improved upon?
Well, I think, a lot of people talk about tour games, but where are those tour games happening, and against what quality of bowling are they happening, are very important questions to be asked. Because if you don't get the kind of preparation that you need before a test series, it's actually, you know, not utilized well. The time that you get before a series, it's not utilized well if you don't get the quality of opposition that you're going to face in test cricket.
You want to focus on you a little bit now. You have gone all over the world. You have made runs everywhere. The pressure is now on you. How do you deal with all that pressure, with all the time that you need to practice, to talk to us, the outside social thing? How do you deal with that, Virat?
I'm more focused on just having a very solid life, being happy with life and doing the right thing on a daily basis. And then everything else seems like an enjoyable journey and, you know, a part of the larger picture. And for me, the larger picture always is going to be life. If I'm solid and if I'm doing the right thing in my life, then I'm much more confident on the field. So I don't play for people, I don't play for perceptions, I don't play for reputation. I only play to make the team win, and that's why I started playing the sport. I didn't start the sport to have numbers, because they're inconsequential. You know, people only remember your attitude and what you brought onto the field. I mean, if you talk about your side, which dominated, no one sits and talks about the great Sir Viv's average. They talk about his attitude and you know, what he brought, the charisma he brought on the field, and how he inspired people. So I see this as a greater responsibility to be put in the position I am by that power, to be able to inspire people. And for that, I need to do the right thing you know, from morning till night.
You have had a fantastic tour. Yes, we know the result is not what you would like, but your tour itself, how do you look back on that? Do you think it has been great? Do you think that you could have done a bit more?
Sitting right now, the two things I can think of is the second innings at Birmingham and the first innings at Southampton. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about the number of runs I've got, because as I said, numbers don't matter to me. I didn't come here to prove anything to anyone in particular, which I already mentioned. The key was to make the team win. And twice I was in a position where, you know, I could have contributed. I know Trent Bridge was a successful performance, but second innings at Birmingham, you know, I think about that, and the first innings at Southampton, I think about that. So that when I'm in the same position again, you know, I don't let the team down. I want to be able to take the team across the line. And I'm always focused on that. I'm always focused on where my mistakes are and how I can improve on them. And I always am willing to accept my mistakes, even in the best of times, so that I can keep improving and not fall behind at any stage. Because it's very important for the team that my mindset stays good, because I have to lead from the front. And if I'm not clear in what I'm doing, and if I, you know, think of my performances, that's not doing justice to the responsibility I've been given. So, right now I've only thought about those two incidents where I could have pushed the team further and maybe, you know, won Birmingham for the team and put the team in a solid position in Southampton.
The Bosnia have just gone ahead in the game against Northern Ireland. Early kickoff in the UEFA Nations Cup. Bušević with the goal after half an hour of play, and so they've taken the away team have taken the lead in that one. Keep an eye on that for you. Those thoughts of Virat Kohli there. Archer and myself just having a little chatter, a little natter off air. I mean, there's the feasibility. I mean, feasibly, he could be named Man of the Series after this test match when those certain awards and accolades are handed out, which would be bizarre, wouldn't it?
Or at best, India will lose the series 3-2, and they could even end up losing it 4-1. And it hasn't been, for me, that big a gap between the two teams. But if you're handing out Man of the Series, who's really stood out head and shoulders for England? No one to mind. There's been some good individual performances, but no one who's been dominant throughout the series.
Sam Curran's
had a couple of good innings with the bat, with the late order, but he's picked primarily as a bowler in the team. But has he really done enough?
He's played three games as well in a five-game series. So
that's interesting. And then Virat Kohli has been the best batsman on both teams. He's finally broken that jinx, or that thing against him about he hasn't scored runs in all conditions. He hasn't got runs in England. He's got runs in England this time. He's been the best batsman for both teams. But has he done enough? If you're the losing captain of a 4-1 or 3-2 series loss, should you be then named Man of the Series? I have my doubts. It tends to always go to someone from the winning team, doesn't it? So there we go. Text us 4001. Who is the Man of the Series for England versus India? Let us know your thoughts, because we're baffled here.
England obviously heading down to Sri Lanka early October. That's their next series down there. They've got a couple of warm-up games, then they've got the one-day T20s and then Test Match series straight after that. So that'll be interesting. I think there's a few of us going on over, or certainly plans afoot at the moment. Why wouldn't you? It's just a couple of hours away, isn't it?
Joining the Barmy Army.
Get involved. There's a bit of a face-off, in fact, between the Barmy Army and the ECB at the moment. ECB have just released their ticket quota for the Sri Lankan test. £70 tickets. Barmy Army are taking a stand because they know that they can pick them up for £1 outside the grounds themselves on each day. So if you want an official ECB ticket, £70, and yet it's £1 on the gate. So why would you?
It's baffling, isn't it?
Yeah. But
do you want the Barmy Army down there? Because they do spend a lot of money on F&B.
Yeah.
They have a good time. They add to the atmosphere of the match. And it makes
good place to watch cricket.
Beautiful part of the world. Whether you're in Colombo playing Test match cricket, or down in Gaul, which is stunning place, and great beaches around there. And the English fans, if you're in Dubai and looking for somewhere to go watch some Test cricket, Gaul is up there amongst the places you'd go. So yeah, get on Tom Urquhart's Barmy Army tour and sign on up. We'll me and Carlos are converted.
I'll take you, boys. Yeah, there's a who's who coming together. There's a this WhatsApp group. Not that I'm a big fan of them, Carlos, right? This WhatsApp group is growing, though, at the moment. So any takers, feel free to join in. Should be a goodie. Interesting, though, because obviously they're heading down to Sri Lanka. They'll have a couple of weeks off now. I think the domestic season's come to a conclusion. It's almost, isn't it?
Almost.
The last couple of rounds
of the
county championship.
The last couple of weeks of the county championship. And let's not forget, Tom, talking cricket, what's happening next weekend?
That's what I mean. I mean,
it's all underway. It's the Asia Cup.
Asia Cup here in the UAE.
India, there'll be 3 or 4 days to finish the series, and they'll come to Dubai and the Asia Cup's.
But this is the question I wanted to ask you, because obviously, a little bit disappointed that we won't see some of the big guns that have played in that long series over in England. Virat Kohli's already been named as one that won't be coming out. Pujara's another as well.
Yeah, I guess you're a little bit disappointed that you're not going to see Virat Kohli playing for India in the UAE, but they play so much cricket, and these guys have got to get given some time off, or they'll burn out and they'll miss large chunks. So I guess it's a interesting competition, because you've got the full members and you've got some of the associates there. Unfortunately, the UAE missed out in the final qualifying.
Three balls or something, wasn't it?
And it was Duckworth Lewis, and it rained in that final match against Hong Kong. But Hong Kong also beat them earlier in the group stages as well. So I think it's fair that Hong Kong do progress and come and play them. So disappointing that Virat Kohli won't be here, but it doesn't overshadow that match, Tom. The match between the two great rivals, India-Pakistan. I think it's the 19th of September, not that long away, up at the Dubai International Cricket Stadium. I doubt there's any tickets left. If not, you'll have to give Tumul Tomiokar a call and work out how you're going to get in there. But that is, whether Virat Kohli's playing or not, that match supersedes everything. So massive clash between those two teams, who only seem to come together during ICC competitions, World Cups, T20s, don't play a lot of cricket other than that. So that's a massive occasion. So I think no man's bigger than the game. As big as Virat Kohli is probably the best player in the world, he won't be playing. But I get it.
What is Asia Cup? Is it 50 overs or...?
50 over event, yeah. So it's 50 over cricket. So, looking forward to seeing. I think the first match is next weekend, next Saturday, and that will see Bangladesh take on Sri Lanka.
Interesting as well, because Pakistan have played very well recently in the shorter format of the game. It's going to be interesting to see how India back up after what has been a long old tour of England. I wonder how many of those test players would feature in the one-day side for India.
Yeah, I think they've got so many specialists now, haven't they, in T20 and 50 over cricket, that they'll change quite a lot of that team. But again, on that same point, as you say, Pakistan are quite well rested, and they've been doing probably a lot of preparation for this series. Pakistan, this is their second home, so they're very comfortable in this environment. They stay in the hotels, they play in the grounds here, they know the dimensions, they know that it's a very familiar environment for them, whereas a lot of the Indian players haven't played here for a long time. I think a few of them would have played in the IPL a few years ago when it was here, spread amongst Sharjah, Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So in some ways it's almost a home fixture for Pakistan. Yet being it, there'll be so many Indian supporters turn out to support their national team here. We know how popular they'll be. So it will be interesting to see how they adapt. It'll be very Asian-type conditions, if you can see what I'm saying there.
And you're obviously a man that observes the game internationally, but also close eye on locally. This, I suppose, kicks off what's going to be a massive 6 months for cricket here in the region. It seems that there are no shortage of tournaments, no shortage of new formats coming to the UAE, which can only be great for, well, obviously, the benefactors of cricket here, the grassroots systems, the coaches and the facilities, etc. Because it seems to have arrived on our doorstep.
It starts next weekend, and I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I don't have a list of all the events coming in, but if you look at the Asian Cup, that's going to take place. That'll take a couple of weeks here. You've got the best teams in Asia taking part. Looking at the test match and the tour situation, you've got Australia touring taking on Pakistan.
That's right.
You've got New Zealand touring and taking on Pakistan. So that'll take the best part of time up until, I guess, October, November, December. Then you've got all these different leagues. So you've got
England Lions coming here ahead of the... So while the team are over in Sri Lanka, yep. England Lions are going to be
England
here.
England Lions are here doing their preparation, probably playing a lot of the local teams, probably playing the UAE in a number of series. Then you've got the T20 league. So you've got the likes of the Pakistani Super League, yep. That's here, but I think that's in next year. I'm getting confused with all the timings. You've got the Afghanistan League, you've got the Sharjah T10 event, you've got the new UAE domestic league, the UAE T-Tex, T10-20X event. That's it. And then you've also got the event down in Abu Dhabi, where you've got five or six of the big champion teams coming in here at Zayed Stadium. So you've got the likes of Yorkshire coming, the Multiply Titans from South Africa, you've got one of the Lahore teams coming in. And so there's an international event also, and I think that's in October.
Yeah.
So pretty much every week now that I can recount until the new year, there'll be international cricket of some description. Amazing. Or world-class players playing here in one of the T20 competitions. So there is a lot of cricket. If that's what you're into, that's plenty to do here on the weekends and during the week, with all that cricket taking place.
I suppose the only downside to that, if there is, there's not a downside from a spectator's point of view, but I suppose From a local player's point of view, and you look at, you know, our friends down at Darjeeling or the other clubs that have set up here and there, they find it tough to find grounds at the best of time. But when you've got so much international cricket here, it must make it even more difficult.
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of ovals at the ICC Academy that could be used potentially. There's a couple of extra ovals now in Abu Dhabi at the Zayed Cricket Stadium that can be used for decent cricket. But and then there's the schools. But when you've got all these other teams here, Tom, they need training facilities, grounds for practicing. It's tough. It must be really tough with the amount of cricket coming in here. We back in the day there was literally nowhere. There was Sharjah, and there wasn't any cricket grounds. It was all the dirt grounds or the sand grounds that were used previously, not that long ago, only a decade ago. So the facility situation for cricket has improved greatly, but it's going to be tough when you have so many international teams here. The premium demands on practice pitches and grounds will be extremely tough to get the local cricketers to give them a game.
I'm same as you, though. I'm trying to keep on top of who's playing in which tournament, because I'm getting a couple of calls and emails and things like that. Liam Plunkett got in touch the other day. He's coming over for the T10, I think, but he's going to bring the family and bits and pieces like that. But then we're getting sort of constant press releases through at the moment. Paul Collingwood signed up for, is that the TX20? I think he's coming over for. Collie's coming over with that. AB de Villiers is one of the ambassadors for the TX20 as well.
And AB de Villiers also signed for the Pakistan Super League as well this week. They made that announcement. So he's also might play for the Multiply Titans because he's part of that set up in South Africa. So yeah, it's a lot of these guys who play all their cricket on the T20 circus, let's call it that, will be here playing multiple competitions. They may end up playing in the T10 event. I know Owen Morgan played that last year. I think Owen Morgan's playing in the Emirates T20X as well. So a lot of these international cricketers are probably just here for the winter.
Yeah. No bad thing. We'll try and get them down to the grill. Come on down to Brasti, be part of it. If you are listening, then do send us your thoughts. Text them to us now on 4001. What we got? We've got about 15 minutes left of the show. It is half-time down at Windsor Park, where it's the home team who trail the visitors. Northern Ireland are trailing Bosnia-Herzegovina by 1-0. We'll put you around the grounds with all the live sport in just a few moments.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
Oi, you're listening to The Grill. We're live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. We're live through until 6 o'clock this evening. There is live sport for you. Let's get the latest, shall we? Let's kick off with all the latest from the world of rugby. A couple of games underway as we speak.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is Wasps are taking on Exeter Chiefs. Wasps leading that one 24 points to 21. The second half has just kicked off. Moving on to the top 14 in France, Bordeaux are taking on Montpellier. They lead that one 6-3. And then in the Currie Cup at the moment, the Bulls are taking on Griquas. They are leading that one 28-11.
That's what's happening in the rugby. What's happening in the football? I can tell you Northern Ireland are trailing Bosnia-Herzegovina by 1-0. Half-time in that one. Mark Archer's keeping an eye on the cricket for us as well. Let's get the latest from the Kia Oval. It's the final test match between England and India.
Yeah, India in reply to England's first innings of 322. They were dismissed just after lunch today. They are battling away there. They are 24-1. KL Rahul is on 15. Pujara is on 6, not out. England also earlier made 332. Joss Butler top scored with 89. The last two wickets for England added 108 runs. So they really recovered well at the bottom end of their order there to put it together a competitive score. So England 322 all out. India 24-1 in reply in their first innings.
Thanks very much indeed for that. You got a bit of AFL for us as well, Marky.
Yeah, we talked AFL. All the playoff action is happening down under in Australia, in the NRL, in the AFL. There was one late game today over in Perth. The home team, the West Coast Eagles, have defeated the Collingwood Magpies 86-70. Wins earlier today in the AFL. The Greater Western Suburb Giants, they defeated the Sydney Swans. Also wins over the last couple of days from Melbourne, they defeated the Geelong Cats 75-46. And a big win for the guys that finished top of the log, the Richmond Tigers. They won the qualifying final against Hawthorn 95-64.
Tonight, we will have Amir Khan back in the ring. Samuel Vargas' opponent has warned that Amir Khan is damaged and over the hill as he prepares to hamper the British fighter's dream of another world title. Pair meet at welterweight in Birmingham tonight in Khan's second bout since returning after some 23 months. Amir Khan is confident,
I still feel strong. I mean, I was running against the young 23-year-olds. I was sparring against the young 25-year-olds who were at the peak of their career, and I was outboxing them. I was beating them at running. I was doing so well. So I was thinking to myself, I think age is just a number for me. I mean, I work harder than most young fighters do, and I was outboxing them when I wanted. My work rate was a lot higher than theirs. And these are young, up-and-coming fighters as well, you know, who I believe will become world champions. So I really feel like that young, still feel explosive, still feel strong. Even though actually age is just a number, to be honest with you, I'm not going to let it get to me.
Fingers crossed, the plan is to put on a good performance, make a few people sit up and take notice, and before too long you'll get the shot, the possibility of another world title in the future.
Yep, definitely. I mean, this next fight is very important to me, fighting Vargas, beating Vargas, not only just beating him, but looking really good against him, will only take me on to the big world title fights. I'll be challenging for a world title, in my opinion, probably end of the year or early next year.
Will he? Or is he damaged goods? Your thoughts, please. 4001. Rather graphic weigh-in for these two. Khan had to remove his boxer shorts in order to make the 10-stone, 7-pound limit on Friday, having been fractionally over as well. So a bit of an oversight. And something you don't want to be seeing at a weigh-in, is it?
No, not at all. And you'd think that Khan would, as you say, Tom, have that all sorted out before he actually gets to it. So, yeah. He's saying that he's prepared very well for the fight, but as you say, big question marks around him, because normally on weigh day the fighters make sure they get it right, and you have to actually ask them how well is he really prepared for tonight's fight.
That fight is taking place later on this evening over in the United Kingdom. It's being fought over in Birmingham as well. Loads of sport to look forward to throughout the next couple of days. Let's get a final quick check from the boys down here on what's going on in the world of sport. England, how are they faring at the moment?
Yeah, no addition. India 25-1 in their first innings. Of course, this is the fifth and final test match between India and England. England have wrapped the series up 3-1. A lot of players playing for, well, probably their careers in some ways, wanting to stay in the mix in the Indian team. Alistair Cook's retirement during the week has left a couple of vacancies open there at the top of the English batting order. They've been trying to fill that for a long, long time, and can any of those people stake a claim to that? India, there's a few players, I think, at their top order as well, who are also wanting to try and cement their positions. Hasn't been a great series for top order batsman Tom to date. So India 25-1. That's a reply. Let's see what Virat Kohli does when he gets a chance on this pretty good batting wicket at the Oval.
How is how are the Exeter Chiefs faring at the moment as well? CBR's keeping an eye on them. They were very good last weekend, up against it this weekend.
Yeah, they're struggling a little bit at the moment, Tom, and what I can tell is Wasps is leading that game 24 points to 21. The second half has just kicked off there. If rugby's your thing, there's a lot of rugby coming up. Leicester Tigers take on Newcastle Falcons at 6 o'clock. Saracens take on Bristol. And then, of course, the late kick of this evening, Bath take on Gloucester. That comes to you live at 7:30 this evening. Down in France, Montpellier are playing Bordeaux. Bordeaux leading that one 6-3. Earlier today, New Zealand convincingly beat Argentina 46-22. The Springboks lost to Australia. Australia beating them 23-18. And then in the Currie Cup in South Africa, the Bulls are taking on Griekwas. They lead that one 45-40. And the Lions take on the Cheetahs. They're kicking off in about 25 minutes.
Thanks for that, fellas. Thank you for all your hard yards. For tennis fans, you're well catered for as well. You've got Serena Williams taking on Naomi Osaka, the first Japanese woman to make it into a Grand Slam final. That's taking place at midnight tonight. And then tomorrow at the same time, you will have the big one. Juan Martín Del Potro of Argentina takes on Novak Djokovic. Djokovic or Del Potro? Fellas.
For me, I think Novak Djokovic has just got the momentum at the right time of his career back. He'll win his 14th Grand Slam, and I think Serena Williams will win her 24th Grand Slam title tonight.
Yeah, I'm going for the same. I think Serena will ease past. She's a great talent, this new young Japanese lady, but I think Serena to make it 24 and Djoko to make it 14.
We'll play out with the thoughts of Del Potro in just a few moments' time. He's been enjoying one of his most successful seasons for a long, long time. Benj, bless you. Thanks so much indeed for all the hard yards there. Benji on the ones and twos here. Hector's kept us on air as well. Cheers, Heck, and all the team. Elaine's back in the studio as well. So Viva Las Vargas, thank you very much indeed for that one. And the marketing dude. Where's the branding dude gone?
He's
gone.
He's off. He's
where's eating. He gone?
He's got his hamburger.
He's gone. He's done. Is he? He's off.
Oh, busy around. Day, Tommy. Busy day. Put the sign up.
That's it from The Grill. We are live from Brest each and every Saturday between the hours of 3 and 6. We play out with the thoughts of Juan Martin Del Potro. Bye-bye.
I always think about that year. It was great for myself, for my career. And after that match, I think I grew up a little bit more in the ranking and then with my confidence. And now I feel like, okay, I'm keep winning big things. So I'm trying to keep positive and making new goals in the future. When I get in New York, I feel something different than other tournaments, and I also have a big fans. They create an special atmosphere when I play, and that's why I feel so special playing at the US Open. I've been training hard for this tournament. I like a lot to play on hard courts. It could be my favorite part of the year, so I feel okay. I'm dealing with my wrist problems, so now I play the most of the time without pain, which is good for my mind also, and now I'm happy for that.
Juan Martin Del Potro is a Masters 1000 champion.
Every time when you beat Roger or the top guys, it's very special. I was lucky to beat Roger in the Indian Wells final. When I feel 100%, I know how dangerous is my game against the other guys. But sometimes you need more than tennis to beat the top guys on tour. And I did in the past, and I'm excited to try to repeat in the future. But Roger, Rafa, now Novak became strong enough to the top position. So it will be interesting moment of the year to see how my level is.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.